Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We're going to go 1 through 7. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. This kind of remind me of Brother Haji, Apostle Gush Ray, when he's talking about, we talked about it in the back, but he kind of talked about the phones versus your Bible. He's starting to get frustrated a little bit because nobody has their Bible, and he's not being legalistic, but the only thing he was speaking to is that most people don't know the word enough because they don't walk through the pages of the Bible. He said, if you turn the book of Nahum and you don't know Nahum exists because ain't nobody ever told you to look for it. You out there because you ain't never. I still love having the word. We utilize every aspect of what we can do, but I know we got screens and we got phones and stuff, but my prayer is at least you in the word, in your Bible at the house, at the very least. Amen. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 1 through 2. Let's read. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity, but fear God. Whoa, that's voluminous there. That's rich. There's a lot that was stated there. That's a lot that was stated there. You know, I know people's mouths can get them in trouble. And sometimes their mouths get them in more trouble than they ever really understood because they don't understand spiritual realities. And sometimes they are putting out stuff into the atmosphere that only comes back to bust them upside the head. But you can't tell them. You can't tell them. They don't understand. See, darkness does not comprehend light. It's just like oil and water. Don't mix. So when spiritual revelation comes for the person in dark, it just sounds like it's you're talking sideways to them. They don't get it. Just say they don't get it. That's all it is. They don't get it. And it's okay, they don't get it. We pray that they will get it in due season. Amen. Because that's the approach you have to take. You pray for them so that they will begin to experience and know God for themselves as well as his word. To live this life not knowing the word of God is a travesty. We can know everything we need to know when we want to know it. That these days you don't have to have 100 books and 200 books to read through like we used to do. You can go straight to the computer and pull up your information, whatever you need to know. But you better know some truths, doctrinal truths. Because we said a long time ago, sometimes you can Google something, but you don't know who's on the other side of what you Googled. And so they give you a commentary from their perspective, and you don't know enough of the word to know that they're off track. They're not doctrinally sound. And you listening to that foolishness, and you now carved out your own doctrine accordingly. Yeah. And then you're going to go and tell everybody what thus said that person. And upset when everybody don't buy into what you're talking about. Yeah. At the end of the day, Lord, make my doing match my knowing. Because if you say you know something, you know, at some point I need to see some fruit. Amen. Here's what it is. Let's show some fruit. Have you got good religion? Certainly, Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to start today in a couple of passages I want to read, Colossians being the first one. If we can get that up, Colossians chapter 3, the church of Colossae. As it reads, if then you were raised with Christ, this is verse 1, seek those things which are above where Christ is. If you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. If you're raised with Christ, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. Right? And as I thought it was back there. See, y'all done tricked me now. See how they tricked me? Go back to the other part. We're going to get this eventually. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility. Look at this stuff here. Look at these traits that he's telling you to clothe yourself in. Put on tender mercies, kindness, you're the elect of God, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. Y'all get that? Bearing with one another. Y'all get that? Forgiving one another. Y'all get that? If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Y'all get that? But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. You know, the worst thing is being ungrateful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you do in word or deed, say that with me, whatever you do in word or deed, now, let's say it with you put I in there where it says you. Whatever I do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. And we got one more passage, James 1, very familiar, of course. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it joy. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Amen. Think about that. Think about that for a minute. That if I allow patience to have its perfect work, that I'm now moving into a higher place in life because I'm allowing this thing to work for my good. I'm becoming more perfect and complete. And that's really what it is, being complete. You're not lacking. You're not missing what you need. And he's helping you to understand how you can relate and get through this life in the right way. And that right way is a way that's going to bring glory to God. Amen. Because you're doing exactly what he wants you to do. Amen. As opposed to allowing all your little trials and stuff to throw you into a conniption. And you lose your mind. Amen. Too many people still losing their mind in the body of Christ. And I guess they think that's exciting. You know, some people bring glory to the idea that they went and lost their mind and gave somebody a piece of their mind. As if God approves of it. I think people are still deluding themselves. Amen. It's that tricky trick that you tricked too many folk and you got tricked yourself. And then God ain't even pleased with that foolishness. Yeah. See, I think we take God too lightly. Because we are more concerned about and consumed by the world's approach to things.
Yeah.
And so we allow foolishness to dominate our world. We allow foolishness to dictate our activities. We allow foolishness to determine how we relate to you, whether we like you, don't like you, whether you're on our side, not on our side, whether you're for us, whether you're against us. But the God we serve is stable. He's consistent. Yeah. He's not all over the map.
Come on.
And he's immutable and changes not. Imagine you had a God that was delirious. But if we're created in his image and likeness, then the whole idea of being delirious ought to not be a part of our life.
Right.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
We're going to talk about developing the character of God in the area of patience. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, dear God, for your insight, your wisdom, for even giving us what we need when we need it. Teaching us thy way. Help us, God, to be all that you call us to be. Help us not be consumed with all the fanfare that comes with foolishness, that foolishness that's of the world and the enemy and flesh. Lord, help us to be mindful that we are children of the Most High God. And it is for you we live, breathe, and have our being. It is you that we desire to please. And we ask, God, that you help us in our every weakness, that we may be strengthened to carry out every objective that you have purposed for our lives. Lord, it is the least or the last thing we ever should want is to never go through this life not fulfilling the purpose you had for us. Help us in that area. In that, we know that we have to be patient on various fronts. And we pray, God, that you would help us to be patient on every front that is needed. And that, God, we will exemplify the righteousness and the truths that you have established for us. And we will walk in a righteous and holy manner, pleasing you, Lord God, with our actions and our deeds and our tongue and words. Not our will, but your will be done. Touch every heart, every mind, every thought. Capture those thoughts, oh God, and show up mightily. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless God. I am always excited to be in the house of God,
amen.
The house of prayer, to be amongst the people of God, so that we can encounter one another and love on each other. But for the message today, I kind of wanted to communicate some things that God was giving me a revelation on something yesterday as I headed over to the leadership, and they say leadership, because they're saying leaders, it's time to shift into another place. So the summit that was on Friday and Saturday, we were headed out yesterday morning. It was around 8-something in the morning, knowing it started 9 o'clock. Sister Yola don't know what I'm going to talk about, but I'm going to talk about it. Sister Yola, we get in the car, Brother Gene, and as we are getting ready to run to the east side of the city, Sister Yola said that she needed to make a stop, and we needed to try to head on over to the store, in this case, Walgreens. And so we had to go pick up something. Now, in my mind, I envisioned going to the Walgreens, maybe that I may catch along the way. She said, that's not going to work. So that being said, I know that in my area, there are certain Walgreens don't open to 9 o'clock, but church service starts at 9. So in my mind, I'm having a mental meltdown very quickly, and I'm having to figure out how I'm going to handle this. Amen, somebody. Because in my mind, anybody that knows me, I really, really, really don't like being late. I used to run with UPS. The latest I'm going to try to run is being scratched, which means you were on time. But really, I was always looking to run under allowed. I always wanted to be ahead of the time expected. So because that is my mental makeup, this was a challenge to my mind. And I had to deal with my mind in this area. And so in my mind, when she said it wasn't going to work, I immediately started thinking, well, there's only one Walgreens that's open now. And I have to go west, southwest towards Highway 6 so I can get to the Walgreens that's open now. But we're supposed to be going east. I'm having to go southwest. And so I was challenged. But at the same time, it's my wife. I love my wife. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to deal with this request. So again, I was like, gee whiz. I held my peace. I had to do some fast talking in my mind. I immediately went vertical and started talking to God. Because I know, because I practice what I preach. And I know if I can go vertical, everything is going to be all right. So in my fast talking, I went vertical to the Lord and say, Lord, help me, Lord. Because I really don't want to be late. So I had to resolve in my mind that I was going to be late. I had to resolve it. I'm going to be late. It's a fact, Jack, there's no way for me to get to the east side of town going southwest towards Walgreens. It ain't going to happen. And so I decided, you know what? I'm just going to chill. Take that deep breath. Decompress. I pulled up in front of the door, let Sister Yola out, because that's what I like to do. I like to pull up right by the door and let her out, and I go park the car, and that's what I did. But it was important that I went vertical before I went horizontal. Amen, somebody. Because God will tweak and adjust your mindset and the words that now come forth out of your mouth, if there be any. Because you don't always have to say something. Amen, somebody. So God tweaked me and realigned my thought process, letting me know how patient he's been with me. And then I say, okay, I got it. So this is kind of how it went. In the dialogue in my mind, in so many words, it went something like this. Self? Yes, Si. You better not start tripping. Self was like, okay, Si. Si was like, self, you know that I have to check. I have to check you when it comes down to something like this. Self was like, you sure right. You really know me, huh? Si was like, I sure do. So be quiet right now. Self was like, okay, you got it, boss. Self had to come under submission. Self had to be taken care of by the true Cy Allen. Amen. To check self, this flesh self, that other kind of self that don't need to be rising up. So I had to be self-checked. Amen, somebody. See, God is saying to us a lot of times, so many of us and so many people here, you're in situations and you can't even have self-control. But self-control is also a fruit of the Spirit. And we'll speak to that. But Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. So sometimes little bitty, itty bitty things start causing people to become anxious or filled with anxiety. And some people become so filled with it, they have anxiety attacks because something seems to be overwhelming them and they hadn't yet learned how to contain or handle those things. But patience, let's talk about patience a little bit. Patience is commonly defined as the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. It is to accept pains or hardships calmly or without complaint. An example might be, it might be you are very patient about having to wait for me so long. It is about sometimes the element of time is a factor in trying to get us off track. When things are not happening in the time frame that we want them to, it sometimes creates grief and stress in the minds of people. Anybody in here ever had some problems with patience or lack thereof? Yeah, you don't have to raise your hand. But the truth be told, if you're human, you have. Amen, somebody. Don't be acting like you ain't never been impatient about anything. Because everyone knows we've all fallen short. Some of the synonyms are forbearing. Patience is also long-suffering, by the way. That is one of the synonyms. It's tolerant. It's tolerant. It is uncomplaining. Y'all get that? Sometimes we can start talking too much, and it ain't gonna change anything. Nothing changes. And we talking. And again, we sound like that teacher in Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. And we have to be careful with that. Historically, the word patience comes from the Latin word patientia, meaning suffering. So think about that. It's saying that you are going to suffer something. And you're suffering something because you have an expectation of something, and that expectation is not being met. And because it's not being met, you suffer with something. You put up with something. Yeah. You bear with something. Yeah. You have to take authority over yourself so you can handle that issue that is before you. And again, that's why God is a God of long-suffering. And God has been putting up with man ever since man been around. And he's still putting up with man as of today. He's a God of long-suffering. And so God is letting us know that is a character trait of me. And that's a character trait that must be in you because you're representing me. And so in one sense, I'm thankful that I was able to capture what was about to go forth. And I was able to contain myself. It lets me know that I passed that test. Because, again, it is common for me to be timely. Right? Maybe it's just me. Boy, it's quiet now. I know God is talking to the folk now. See, folk don't get that quiet, in the church like that, unless God really talking to you. See, that's the beauty of God. So right now, God is talking to you right now, and your mind is starting to process some matters and things in your head of where you've been impatient. All right? You're processing, and you're listening for the next word that's going to help your situation. Amen. That's a good thing. Hallelujah. So patience sometimes referred to as long suffering. It originates from God, and it is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Of course, we find that in Galatians 5, 22, 23, that we'll see that. It is a product of self-control. It's a part of godliness, I should say. Now think about it. It's the idea of self-control. Learning to control oneself And that is a fruit of the Spirit. And if patience or long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit, and self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, and love is a fruit of the Spirit, he's telling us that you're going to have to come to me to get what you need to carry out every objective that I called you to. Because the only way you're going to really exemplify this on a high level is by my Spirit.
Amen.
And not enough times we don't go vertical and we ain't talking to God when we need to talk to God.
Right.
Sometimes people are so emotional and very reactive that they will respond so quickly before they can capture the words out of their mouth. And they've said some things that they shouldn't have said, did some things they shouldn't have done. And then they have regrets that they never need to have if they could have learned that self-control is necessary. I could have went to a place and say, for instance, I would have went off on Sister Yola some kind of way. Now, it really wasn't a big deal in the end of it when you really think of the scheme of life. That is a nothing situation, right? So the challenge now is my challenge, right? It's my test. It's my challenge. Am I going to be up for the test that is at hand in that very moment? Or will I allow my flesh to rise and then I subject her to some things that is in my flesh as opposed to giving her that which is of the Spirit? God is challenging each and every one of you and all of these matters that you have in your life. Will you exemplify self-control and even exemplify a level of patience with someone that you feel a level of anxiety or lack of patience towards? I understand this. I know how the tendency of man is to be more patient with others outside than sometimes they are with the one right with you. Come on, now help me, tell me if I'm lying. Come and tell me if I'm lying. People will handle matters with other people outside of things differently than they sometimes will handle with than the one that they're with. Right? So we have to be able to consider that and say, why is that occurring? Is it that we have become too comfortable with who God has placed in our life and we care for and we begin to overlook them? Maybe we expect so much more. But the funny thing about it, then could they also expect from us?
Yeah, right.
It is a two-way street. You'll never notice a two-way street if you're caught up in your flesh.
Come on.
The only way you're going to know that there's a two-way street when you have consulted with God and you've taken assessment over your life and you begin to process that through your mind, and then you realize, I ain't no better than them, they ain't no better than me, and if I'm not careful, I can act out in a certain way or behavior that is not indicative of the type of character of Christ or of God. Amen, somebody. Because we are children of God, and our desire is to please him. I hope it is your desire to please God.
Yes.
Lord, make my doing match my knowing.
Yes. Yes.
So we have to begin to assess ourselves. You got to confront yourself.
Amen.
Amen. You have to confront yourself. You ought to be the one that's going to challenge yourself more than anybody. Because it is up to you at the end of the day between you and God on how far you go.
Right.
See, today we have too many people have been caught up in an entitlement age.
Yeah.
And in an entitlement age, they believe everything's supposed to be given to them. And everybody else going to do it for me. You ain't got to do anything, but you're going to take care of me. You're going to handle my business. If I have an issue, then you're going to forgive me, but I won't forgive you. Everything now becomes about being self-absorbed and consumed. We're so consumed with self-interest that we forsake and forget, first of all, the interests of God, let alone others. We're to edify other people.
Amen.
Right? People cut each other up and tear them down with their mouth. And then they always want to go and put stitches on them. right? You done ripped them. You done chopped them up. Now you always want to fix it. Sometimes you got to settle the situation in your head first before you do anything or say anything. That's really what you're supposed to do at all times. Are you representing God when you're challenged or confronted by something that you don't like? Who are you representing? The struggle is real. The struggle is real because everybody is looking for somebody else to be the one that handles whatever they're doing. They cannot see. It is a two-way street. You're supposed to forgive me. You're supposed to love me. You're supposed to take care of me. You're supposed to do all this. And that's all we got in our mind. But we ain't thinking about what we got to do. So when you're saying that, they're saying the same thing, possibly. Well, you should be doing this, and you should be doing that. They may not ever say it out their mouth. Now, just to let you know, in some relational matters, it's a dangerous place when the other person don't have or don't feel they have the ability to now communicate to you anymore. They cannot communicate to you their concerns because you don't hear them. Yeah, I'm trying to help somebody right now. When you get to the place that now you have stifled everything they could ever say and they shut down, then you're going to be challenged more than you think. Because imagine, it was all right when you heard them raging and saying stuff. Now you don't know what's going on now. Because they were expressing what they were feeling for the moment, which gave you the ability to now process that and maybe adapt and change some things. But when they're now not talking anymore, you don't know what's really going on anymore. So you're left in the dark now concerning the one you with. They don't feel good to talk to you anymore. You in trouble. You're in trouble. See, so don't think that you now have taken domination over them because now they're not saying nothing. No, you fooled yourself. They ain't talking no more. You don't know what the next step is. Somebody be them fool around and you meet and had a burning bed or something. Now, I ain't putting that on you, but I'm just saying, you don't know what's going to happen next. You know, when I was growing up, when somebody wanted to, get with me, I'm not going to be talking about it. If I know you're going to get with me, I ain't saying nothing. I just clock you. Because, see, I'm going to move first. You don't know when I'm moving. You don't know what's in my hand. You still talking. You get clocked. So what I'm saying is that, you know, that was before I knew better, you know. Y'all understand? Sometimes you went there. Some, I know, because some of y'all still do it. Don't think I don't know. It ain't just men sometimes. Sometimes women are clocking men. They don't want to tell that story. They don't want to tell that story. Lord, they don't want to tell that story. On a side note concerning patience, patience is really at its lowest point than any other time, or the mention of the word or the term patience is at its lowest point in over the past 500 years. I saw a graph. And you go back 500 years ago, and it's going down like this. It's trending downwards. People are now lacking patience. And so I say, why is that the case, Lord? What is going on? I mean, why do you think it's the case that people are becoming less patient? What's going on? There you go, Sister Natika. That's one of them. Everything is like this. It's got to happen now. We come up in a microwave generation, right? Everything has got to be immediately. You got to respond immediately. Some of you are having a conniption because God ain't moved on your situation.
My God.
In the time you were looking for. Yes, you angry with God, you just may not say it.
Amen.
So I believe, one, too many people are more ignorant of God's word today than they should be. They don't really know. See, the word planted in your heart is the word that's going to help you out of your situation. Amen. If you don't have enough word in your heart, you can't even utter a word to change your condition. Even the Lord, when he was tempted, after 40 days, he was able to exercise words out of his mouth and to check that devil too. But how are you going to check? How are you going to put something back in order or fix something and you don't have no word? What you going to say when that word ain't planted on your heart? Now you got to go call somebody? Now you got to find the Bible to start researching? You didn't have an end-time word in that moment. It's a now word that you got to have when you have confrontation. We lack in word. You can't even speak the word. See, the word that God has spoken and the word that you bring back to your, that comes to your mind and you utter out of your mouth, that word never returns void.
That's right.
Because that's his word.
Yep.
You can't fix something when you don't know what to say.
Yeah.
If you don't know who God says you are, then you're not going to speak in terms, in faith, to deal with the life matters concerning what's going on in your world. You won't be able to handle it because you ain't got no word to say. What you gonna say? Help me, somebody. Help me. You better start getting that word. See, here we are, we're in church, we're in 2017, and folks still don't want to read their word. But you'll read anything else. You'll search everything else. You'll spend time with everything else, but you won't spend time with God. What is going on in this place? And we act like, see, watch this, bro. Y'all, come on now. Do you understand the power in the word of God? Do you understand the power that you can speak out of your word, out of your mouth, and you can cause things to line up in your home, with your family, with other matters that's going on in your world, in your finances? Do you understand that if you start following the word of God, you start speaking the word of God, you develop a relationship with the word, who is God? Do you really understand what can happen in your world? If you're missing or lacking something, that you can speak to that thing. God, you know, you said this is who I am. You said that I'm the righteousness of Jesus. Lord God, you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Lord God, you said I'm the head, not the tail, above, not beneath. I'm a lender, not a borrower. Lord, you said I'm these things. Lord, you've been talking in your word. I need to know what you're saying, God. And then I can express out of my mouth the words you said over my life. And my change comes. Some folks spend too much time focusing on what other words everybody else got to say. And any word that they said is foul and it's twisted anyway. It's worldly and fleshly. It ain't got no power in it. That's why your situation ain't changing. Because there's no power in the word that you're speaking concerning what you heard. All that humanistic secularism stuff, that stuff ain't got no power. It's the word of God. That's called a setup. You think you can go outside of God and get what you need? It ain't changing your situation. It ain't changing your state. You still going through. You still ain't got no joy. You still ain't got no peace. You still a trouble in your mind. You still tormented on every front. Because you don't trust God nor his word. He'll put you on a trajectory in life that you'll see yourself accelerating into higher places, and that you're moving from darkness to light, and you're going deeper into him because your relationship is established by the word that you now know and the trust that you have in him and your obedience to the word that he's already spoken. You see yourself soaring. You're flying high, 35,000, 40,000 feet. I told you before, when you fly that high, you ain't got to worry about nothing. Because whether the problems exist or not, they're so minute, they're so little, they're so small in your mindset because they way down there and you flying way up here. Y'all know y'all seated in heavenly places. You tell me that all the time.
You said that he's your God. Well, God handles all of our matters. We just give it to him. He said, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. He tells us not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. So you got to be patient. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. Yes, he is. That's the one he is. See, a lot of people, they mess with your mind because, see, they don't want you to be confident in who you say you believe in. And because you got an itch and ear to listen to all kind of foolishness, you're listening to that more so than the word that is now going to change your state. It's not a shock or a surprise that the devil is going to send some other thing to get you off track. Well, you know, I ain't got bored with this church thing. I done got bored with reading about the word. I'm bored with Christ Jesus. I'm bored with God. Well, that's you. And you also were given an account. Everybody want to hook up. You let your stuff hit rock bottom. You're the first person going to be calling on God.
That's right.
Your boredom becomes a passion.
Yeah.
God, I can't do this thing without you no more. See, if you're smart and you got the wisdom of God, you already know I can't live without you. I'm like a peon in this whole thing. But in him, if he's got all power in his hand, then the power that's in his hands and I'm in him and he's in me, then there's a power that's working through me that comes from above. Well, you know, it ain't just power just to have a word of knowledge. It ain't just power to have a prophetic word. It ain't just power. It's power over your stuff. It's power over your problem. It's power over your issue. See, everybody got a word to say, but can't people walk it out? Can you walk it out? Everybody can say something. We're prophetic people. We can have a word to say because we're in Christ. But can you live it? So that's where the rubber meets the road. When your house is blessed, your children is blessed, your finances is blessed, your world is blessed, and your enemies are your footstool. That's power, baby. That's power. And see, folk talk too much. They got a lot to say and ain't saying nothing. They talking out the side of their neck. You can't even forgive nobody. See, God gives you power to forgive. Everybody got a word. But everybody ain't got no action. So too many people are ignorant of God's word. Too many people lack a deep relationship with God. That was number two. They have a lack of respect for God's people.
Yes,
come on now.
Yes,
a lot of times folk are acting out because they don't respect the one that God made.
Yes.
And you think that goes over well.
Come on now.
Like I said, and then you're dealing with the time element where things move so fast and people are so thrown off because ain't nothing happening in their time. It ain't about God's time. It's your time. And you're impatient with God. Impatience being not willing to wait for something to happen and becoming annoyed at the delay.
Yeah.
Impatience can also mean eager for something to happen. He was impatient to become like whatever the next objective is. The tendency to be impatient or irritability or restless. See, sometimes people become irritable and restless and they can't really focus on things because it's too much happening and they're not getting their way. See, isn't it always about, it's got to be my way. It's got to be my way. It's my way. It's got to happen my way. It's always about me. Don't you understand? It's about me. Y'all remember we did that? It's about me. It's about me. It's about me. Y'all hear what we're going to do it again? It's about me. Y'all see how we do this? So if you're in a situation and I say it's about me, you saying it's about you, who is getting anywhere? Nobody. Because it's about you. And then all that is about me, I ain't heard nothing about it. It's about him. I ain't heard nothing. When is it ever about him?
That's why folk, they just so stubborn and full of themselves because everything is about them. It's like being full and you can't even release nothing. Too many constipated Christians. Too many of them. Too many constipated Christians. Yeah, go and imagine that. Full of stuff. Weighted down. If you don't have a release, you don't have an outlet, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Even a pool, a pond that has no release is stagnated. What you really gonna accomplish? How can you do for God when it's all about you? See, some things are really rather simple. All that time you were focused on you, God said didn't handle your business. Handle it. You so bad. Go make it happen. What you're looking for, you make it happen because you got all power in your hands. You're your own idol. You're your own God. That's what God is saying. You don't really trust me. You ain't living for me. That's what he's talking about. So if I ain't happy, everybody gonna know it. You better be thankful God is a God of long suffering because he's putting up with your mess. Because he could have checked you out of here a long time ago. And we ain't thankful to understand that. I can't understand ungrateful saints. Can't understand it. That everything is, I'm so consumed with me that I forget him. So every time you have a challenge with somebody, who your first line of thought? You. I'm going to make sure I make it happen. And your stuff still corrupt and perverted and twisted. You still ain't functioning in a higher order.
That's right.
Because it's been about you too long.
That's right.
How are you going to please God? How are you going to get where God wants you to go and you won't follow his instructions? Just because he tell you today and you want it to happen tomorrow, you figure he didn't take it a week already, so I'm going to go fix it. You ain't patient with God. You ain't trusting God. Folk don't like to hear this kind of stuff. Everybody pacifist and everybody want to be pacified. They want to be pacified. Okay, so let's look at a few areas in our lives where impatience may show up, where patience need to show up. I told you when we preach, it gets everybody. How many of you are impatient on the street when you're on the freeway or on the roads of the city? Some of y'all are going off saying all kind of manner of evil. When somebody accidentally cuts across your way, you go speaking into another tongue. You got some sign languages working. Ain't patient. Ain't patient. How many of you are not patient when when you got to wait in line past the time you thought you were going to have to wait? What do you do when you have to wait in line past that time? Do you still act like God would act or have you to act? Or do you start acting unbecoming? You know, if you feel it's taking too long, then just move around. You ain't got to be evil. You ain't got to say no evil.
That's right.
You know, you ain't got to try to get somebody to look at you. Look at me. So you decide to go off and say all kind of stuff, and then everybody like, you got the, you know, all the attention and the eyes are on you. See, some folk really like that. They're narcissistic. Just, they create scenarios to be seen. And I thought we was probably showing people Christ. Y'all see how that's perverted? And I'm saying, don't miss that.
You got all, you want all this attention and eyes on you, but you ain't pointing them, nobody to Christ. You are filled with a life of missed opportunities because you didn't want to reflect the character and nature of Christ. You didn't want to show somebody Jesus. You just wanted to go off and get all this attention and hope somebody recorded it so they can Facebook it. Waiting to be served at a restaurant. I've seen some people just go, I've seen it, they just came from church. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. They just came from church and they forgot who they were. Again, that's like James talking about looking in the mirror and forgetting who you are. You giving everybody a piece of your mind. You're not patient with them. But don't make no mistake yourself. You want everybody to be patient with you.
Amen.
It's a two-way street. Y'all see how that thing works? You want folk to be patient with you. But you won't show no patience. You will reap what you sow. You lack patience for other folk. And you can't find nobody to be patient for you. It's the word.
Amen.
It is the word. See, people keep thinking that word must be just like, it's just some suggestions and stuff. Just, you know, that ain't the word of God. That's just some stuff. That was Paul just wrote that. He wrote the word of God.
Amen.
Let me ask y'all, see, this is what's so dumb to me. I'm going to tell you what's dumb to me. Somebody wrote everything in here. But it's an errant word of God because it had to be communicated to somebody to get it on the paper so he can get that across the whole world in every generation, every age, every time. So do you literally believe that God was going to just write everything? He did it before with putting some stuff on the wall and things like that, but then that ain't going to make nobody believe that. So you answer to me. How you going to get this? Oral tradition? How you going to get it? See, people got a lot of dumb talk. It's got to come from somewhere. They're the same folk that's going to believe in science that somebody wrote. They're the same jokers that's going to believe in history that somebody redid. They redid the history for the itching ear that's looking to hear what they want to believe.
Yeah.
And we are not wise enough to know that somebody didn't play a foolish game and tweaked us and tricked us. They're the same folk. They're looking for every reason not to believe the word of God, and they're going to go and look everywhere else. And if they really were honest, even science points to what God did. Even scientists know that. But we so smart. We too smart. I'm going to skip. I ain't going to skip. I can't skip it. We good. We're going to go fast. Yeah, we're going to go fast in the back. Anyway, are you patient with your significant other? And I said that in a funny way, but anyway, y'all get the picture. Are you patient with your spouse? Are you patient with your friends? Are you patient with your enemies? Are you patient with your children? Are you patient with the babies? Are you patient with adults? Because they should know better. Are you patient when you have to wait for the bus, the plane, the taxi, or the train, or the airplane? Are you patient? And if you're impatient, what are you doing about it? Y'all got to know. You can be all impatient all you want to. And you still waiting.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing happened. You still waiting. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You still waiting. You ain't changed
daggum thing. So you didn't just went and lost your mind. And I saw how they did when they had that situation in the airport. Folk were getting arrested. And they still didn't make the plane fly. Still didn't. So they got out of character if they were a child of God. And nothing was accomplished. But I got Jesus. And that's enough. When the rubber meets the road, what's really happening in your world? Are you passing the test that come your way? See, you should never be excited being delirious.
Amen.
Should never be excited about that. What's that going to do for you? Do you understand that you're corrupting your path? I think that just went over some folk head. You're corrupting your own path. We think practicing foolishness, worldliness, satanic stuff, fleshy stuff is good for us.
No.
And you say, oh, no. Then why we keep on pushing it? Why we can't be like Christ? When you're creating his image and likeness, and then he came and died for you.
Yeah.
And then he rose again with all power in his hand, and you covered in the blood of Jesus, and you got the Holy Ghost. Oh, so who's dominating who? Who's running who? Who's in control of who? Who are we looking to? Because see, the only way is gonna people gonna really know who you really are is you exemplify Christ everywhere you go. And that's how they're going to know Christ lives in you.
Amen.
See, if we were to go and run some tests, some surveys in some people's jobs and in their houses and in their houses with their spouses, I already know that the story ain't going to, now, if I can get them separated, the story ain't going to ever look nowhere close. I already know. Your yay's got to become a yay, and your nay's got to become a nay. You got to be patient. Watch this. And God said this to me. He said, you even, for the one who's on the receiving side of the impatient, has got to be patient with the one who's impatient. See, you upset because they impatient. And you impatient because of their impatience.
Yeah.
And he said, you got to be patient with their impatience because I'm patient with your impatience.
Yeah.
Ah. You see how now the mirror swings back to you. See, everybody can look at everybody else, but they just impatient. They impatient. And you impatient because they impatient. But you can't see you impatient because of their impatience. You see? But everybody think they got it going on. Check yourself.
Amen.
Check yourself. That's all you do. Just check yourself. Are you impatient because somebody else is impatient? Are you countering actions that do not line up with God because they seem to have actions that do not line up with God? They impatient and they said something and you cussed them out. So you impatient. Oh, Jesus ain't no joke. Ain't no joke. See, everybody continue to looking at everybody else. And you pointing fingers, and that's three pointing back at you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, I want that to sink in. Because everybody can talk about somebody else. That's easy. Like I say, we are everybody looking for Azazel. Everybody always looking for a scapegoat. Everybody always looking for somebody else to blame. Is my mama? Is my daddy? Is my sister? Is my brother? Is my uncle? Is my auntie? Is my friend? Is my best friend? My friend is the reason. All these situations are the reason why I'm not walking this thing out with you, Lord. Everybody else is the reason. But nobody can walk for you.
That's right.
So all that blame game and excuse fact finding stuff, it ain't going to help you. Kill that junk. That stuff ain't helping you.
Not at all.
You think by making excuses going to give you an out with God? No. Because when it come down and you got to give an account, you think he going to say, well, what did your mama say? What's your mama do? What's your daddy do? What's your daddy say? What's your friends? You know, let's go talk to them and see. He ain't calling them. He ain't calling them. He's talking to you. Did you represent me when you were challenged? Christ was challenged, and he didn't say a mumbling word. The children of Egypt, Israel, were challenged in Egypt, and all they did is murmur and complain. They were impatient with God. They was just straight up tripping, and it cost them from getting into the promised land. What is going on in your world? Folk are so full of themselves and fear, and everybody gonna get over. Look, do you think I worry about folk gonna get over? I already know. If people tripping, God gonna get them. I didn't see it happen too many times. I ain't got to worry about that. He told me to get after him.
That's right.
I'm just trying to tell you what helped you. You're spending too much time focused on you. You can't even do kingdom work. And we're going to spend a lot of time making excuses. And God is still being patient with you, but you ain't patient with nobody else. Matthew 18. Trey, y'all got that? Go ahead and put that up on the screen. I want y'all to get this. Now look at here. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. You know how they believe only three is all you needed. So, you know, Peter thinking he's going to get a little bit higher. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Go ahead. The servant therefore fell, keep going, down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me. See, he know the debt was more than he can pay.
Yeah.
And he said, Master, have patience with me. Because he already said about what he's going to do with his wife and children, right, that they're going to be sold. He's like, have patience with me. I can't really do this. I need you. Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Now, the funny thing about it with debts like that, now you see why you need Jesus. There's no possible way you can pay those debts. None. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave the debt. Now, I don't have time to go through that part of what, but you get the picture. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now, you're talking about minuscule numbers compared to the 10,000 talents. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay that debt. So he was released from his debts, and they were great debts. And now he can't forgive the one who had a little debt with him. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved because they didn't know the story. And came and told our master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant." So he tells him how he sees him. He sees him as wicked because your debts have been forgiven and you ain't forgiven nobody of their debts. He's been patient with you, but you ain't patient with nobody. He puts that in league with a wicked servant. I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? How many of you understand if you don't forgive other folk, you're not forgiven by God? Oh, but you think holding on to it is going to gain you access? The devil is a lie. That's why folk are still being tormented, because they ain't been released from the stuff they holding on to other folk. You have the audacity to expect everybody to forgive you and to have patience with you, and then you turn a blind eye to what he said? God forbid. Where's your patience? Where's your forgiveness? He gave you a debt that you could not pay. He forgave it. You couldn't pay it. And you sit around and with the audacity to act like that is about me. My Lord. I ain't forgiving him. Look, we checking you. God is checking you. He said, don't be naive. You don't forgive other folk. I got a right for what they did. Well, he could say the same thing. Because the debts that they owe you or the situations you're dealing with them ain't nothing compared to how you've been opposed to the Almighty God. Your righteousness is a filthy rag, so even your best still stink. His master was angry and delivered him. Now watch this. You wonder why you're tormented? That's it right there. They delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. That's why I keep telling you, when you're in an unforgiving state, you're tortured. Yeah. You're tormented. You ain't got no peace. You ain't got no joy. Yeah. You can't get past the situation where that issue occurred in the first place. Yeah. If it happened in 1999, you still stuck there, because that's all you can talk about. Your whole story is encapsulated into what happened in 1999. Jesus. As if God ain't never done nothing else. He ain't done nothing for you. He kept you. He gave you his son. If he didn't do anything else, he gave you a way of escape because he gave you his son. So that you may have life and have it more abundantly, and you'll have eternal life. And all we're doing is focus on whatever our situation is. My God. Really? My God. Are we going to deal with that and live that the rest of our life? My God. Come on, God. And to me, that implies that God can't do nothing for you. That's why I like that Joyce Meyer story. She was being raped and molested by her own daddy her whole young life. And then she turned around and took care of him at the end of his life. What? Huh? Can't tell me that God can't do that. You tell me that, you're lying. That's a lie from the pits of hell, that you tell me that God can't fix it or change it. That's a lie. You ain't trusting him. It's a lie. The devil is the father of lies. He wants you to hold that stuff so you can't ever do what God told you to do. My Lord.
So my heavenly Father also would do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brothers his trespasses. Who was talking? Who was talking? You think the Lord don't know what he's talking about? Oh, but if it was one of the others that wrote it, what he said, then they don't know what they're talking about. So that's your way out, right? They wrote what he said. That's your way out? For real? Yeah, we didn't dummy it up that much? I can't play with God. How dare you play with him? I thought I was going to have a chill message. That's why I started out light with Sister Yola. Lord. I see that I'm going to have a round two. Amen. I finished page one. And I got two pages to go. I know I need to talk about the mind. I know I need to talk about thoughts. I know I need to talk about how the enemy, the devil, Satan himself, he's like he's sitting on folks' shoulder like in the cartoons. S-I-T, he's sitting there. And he's full of suggestions, ideas, and thoughts that he's giving you to infiltrate your thoughts or your mindset. And all he wants to do is corrupt your way. I know I need to talk about some five or six things that I need to speak to concerning taking your thoughts captive. That's some stuff I got to talk about. I ain't there. I can't finish. I have to do a part two. I have no recourse but to do a part two. There's no possible way I can finish this. Because I know you didn't plan. Now watch. I know you didn't plan to be here at 3:30. Because y'all ain't patient with Pastor. Like I told you, that's why I'm going to bring Prophetess Lisa so y'all can stay 6 or 8 hours. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring Prophetess Lisa so y'all can be here at 8:30 and leave at 4. Ain't that funny? Ain't that funny when you get your mindset that you could literally stay for what you want? Amen. Amen. Yeah, y'all can be in 7, 8 hours when you want to. Uh-huh. Yeah, come on now. You know how it goes, sister. You know, I ain't trying to guilt you, and I ain't going to take you there. I ain't going to hold you to that. But I know what I know. I know what I know. I know yesterday 200 folk went Friday and then Saturday. 2 days. One in Rosenberg and one off of Maxie Road. Because they wanted something. See, folk come to church, they don't want nothing. Oh, that's right. They want something in the time frame that we carved out. I don't know what we're going to do when the Holy Ghost take us beyond that time frame. You know how many times people walked out and then their blessing was right there before they left? I mean, after they left? They just were gone and God had something for them. And then it's just, shoom. Because they don't know. They're impatient. Because God just typically ain't doing. See, now watch this. That's the last thing I'm going to say about this part. When you're impatient regarding the things of God, God will hold some stuff past your time of patience to prove your impatience, and you miss what you could get because you couldn't be patient on God and wait. Because the other part of that is when you talk about suffering, it's also saying waiting on God.
Yeah.
You can't even wait on God.
So you know what? I don't expect nobody to wait for me. Folk can't wait on God. You can't wait on God. You think I'm better than God? I already know. So it don't shock me. Y'all be playing games. Folk will, like we talk about football, they will leave their house at 4 or 5 in the morning to tailgate. Sit there all morning, all day long until the game starts, and they will stay after the game for some more fun, and they've lost from 4 in the morning to probably 9 o'clock, 8 or 9 o'clock at night. But they won't even spend 5 minutes in their word. 3 minutes praying. And you think God don't know you. Yeah, let there be an event and you got to buy tickets. And you know there's a bunch of fanfare about the tickets and they're going to put it on sale. Back in the day, they used to use, what, Ticketron, Ticketmaster, all that stuff. And they were having these places and folk would go camping out the day before, 2 days before. Sometimes when they're getting ready to do stuff now, people camp out a week before. But they're the first one to complain that they had to sit in church for 2.5 hours. But they're children of God. Don't you understand you making a mockery of God? The people, they're not getting it. They're totally missing it. Totally. And God is saying, clean that mess up. Don't be looking at me as an afterthought.
Amen.
God ain't no afterthought. Amen. Ain't ever going to be no afterthought. Amen. This ain't happening. So forever you think, every time you exalt something like that above God, you saying it's more important than God. God is an afterthought. Folk do what they want to do. And God is a God of long suffering. But in that same stuff I was reading, we also know that there comes a point where God's long-suffering ends. Mm-hmm. That's why folk will turn over to torturers. That's why people will not make it in because they didn't trust and believe. So there's a point where long-suffering does end. There's a point where long-suffering with your own children, you say, you know what? I didn't put up with you too long in this area. And you settled a score. God the same way. That's why we don't play with God. I don't know what the timetable is for if I'm going to hold on to something. If I feel if I hold stuff, I think something might just get me. It's going to mess up my whole world. I ain't even trying to mess up the generations that follow me. Amen. Because a lot of stuff is being transferred from one generation to the next. You don't believe it? It's true. It's up going down through your generation. The same kind of thought process has now become their thought process. They've now become their thought process. The thing that has corrupted you and has built a stronghold up in your life is now in their life, if you ain't careful, and then it's in your children's lives. So it's in your grandkids. It's the same thing. Familiar spirits want to come back and revisit. See, we playing games. Because, see, we're not trying to take stuff seriously enough to deal with self now so that they become the beneficiary of your love for God, the most holy God, and it now gets on them. They at least get to start off on a better track. I said, I ain't saying no more, so I'm done. I know I get intense, but, you know, love can get intense. Right? We call what the Lord went through, we call it the passion of Christ. His love was so intense for us that he gave his whole life for us. And it wasn't nothing that's just simple and easy. That was a real deal stuff. He's so passionate for us that we give him the crumbs. He don't really care. I can't do it. I can't do it. Like I gotta say, some of y'all better than I ever can be. It's just bad, y'all bad. Y'all got it going on. Well, bless God.
Bless God.
Bless God.